Welcome to the Michael Rousselet Show.
God damn it, get him away from the mic.
I'm Brian Ferenzi here with Michael Rousselet. We have some guests on the show named Logan Olson and Ben Geely.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey guys.
So guys, that was a sweet cold open to the fucking future.
To the fucking future.
Welcome, everybody, to another very directed podcast about the future, where we talk about one topic for a full hour.
Yes.
Oh.
A whole hour.
And we have two guests, Mike Rousselet and Brian Ferenzi, and we're going to talk about bros.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
The future of bros.
Of bros and brodom.
The bro future.
The bro future.
If I could get both of you to pop your collars while we discuss these things.
I'm going to go ahead and pop my collar,
too. You know what, me too. Everybody, collars up.
What are the chances that we all have collars on despite none of us having jobs?
We're all homeless.
Wait, when did you lose your job?
I'm just kidding.
Oh. I lost mine today. I was surprised that you
did
knew
you
about
really?
That.
Are you serious?
No, I love
oh
how
my
you,
God.
I love how you're both like, oh my God.
No,
because
you were talking to me about that, saying like, I'm worried I might lose my job soon.
Alex, we're gonna have to take that out.
Okay.
Really?
Keep that in. Well, it all depends on when this comes out, whether or not I've lost my job by then.
That's super awesome.
Of the future.
So, either way, bro, I'm so stoked for you.
Yeah, good job.
Thanks, guys.
More Ben.
There's plenty of Ben to go around right now. I've been sadness eating.
For those of you that don't know or aren't stalking, Ben and I live together intimately. Mm-hmm.
And I'm over all the time.
Exceptionally intimately. And Brian is over at the house constantly.
I live two blocks away, but never am over.
Yep.
What's weird is that how long have you lived over there?
A year, right?
Okay, it's only been a year.
A year and a half.
Okay.
I think. But so guys, why... This is a very leading question. Why would we be talking about the future of bros with you two?
Well, because we're about to start shooting a movie that dips into the past of bros, namely Dude Bro Party Massacre 3, which reached our Kickstarter goal of over $200,000, and we're shooting it in mid-September.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, I'm also a part of this travesty.
Yes, Ben is in as well. We just actually had our script read through our first... read-through of our newly revised script last night, and I have to say the response was very good, and we're excited to go full steam.
We had Greg Sestero reading. That was super surreal. Greg
For those of you who
room,
don't know... Okay, thank you.
From the room, yeah.
Really quickly, I guess you've never seen this before. When we stick our hands in the center, it means that's our way of interrupting each other.
Yeah.
So, like, rather than step on each other's jams,
it's like raising your
hand,
but in a slightly more fascistic manner. There you go.
So fascistic, fascistic.
You figured out the etymology, Michael.
Edamonopoeia.
Edamame.
So, anywho, I actually, even though I'm not part of Dude Bro Party Massacre, I think it might be the first time I've ever Kickstartered in my life.
Really?
You don't
Thank you, buddy.
I don't remember. I chose one of the goals that involved, I think, Brian writing something, but I don't really remember what it... Do you know this?
Well, I mean...
your name's in a database.
I might have done it in a drunken haze. I don't remember.
Yeah, no. For a while there, we were very concerned we weren't going to reach our Kickstarter goal, but it was, of course, the mid campaign doldrums that happened to everybody. Anyway, so we came up with a lot of new prizes. One of them was, for $200, we will make your 5-second film idea. Now that's, you know, everything. We shoot it, we talk to you about it, we workshop the concept with you, aka in case the idea maybe needs some work.
If you're going to spend $200 on a 5SF, I would hope it's good, or at least a passion piece.
Yeah. but for a lesser amount, I'll just write the description that would accompany your 5SF idea were we to have made it. So you pitch me the idea, you write the idea and send it to me in an email, and then I send no fewer than 50 words about your
You have
concept.
To do 1,000 of those. I
Everyone
think.
Thinks I'm going to have to do 1,000 of these just because over 1,000 people donated enough to claim that prize, but I bet you not 1,000 people are going to pitch me ideas.
Wait, so did I pitch you an idea or not?
You haven't yet.
Shit.
Don't worry, you haven't received the email prompt to do so yet.
You will.
I'm gonna, by the end of this podcast, I will have pitched you an idea for a 5-second film.
Okay, and okay. I'll come up with a description for you.
You
okay.
haven't pitched him an idea ever in the past like 7 years of
I must have.
This?
I must have pitched
You're
you an idea.
You're in a few of them.
I am.
Logan
I think,
is in a couple of very early 5SFs. That's yeah. right. He's actually in one of my
boner party.
He's in one of my favorites.
You're in well, boner party.
That's Party Surprise.
Oh
it's
shit!
Called Party Surprise. We can't just give away the fact that there's a boner in this.
Boner.
That's the surprise.
Wah, wah. Anyway, the one he's in that I actually really love is Fight Squad. That's
oh,
one of my,
yeah,
that's
great.
Oh, I love that. And Freddy's in that.
Logan actually delivers a pretty mean left punch. You're not a lefty, are you, Logan?
No, I think that was back during my Krav Maga days.
Oh, yeah.
Back when I was really into the cage.
It looks like you whapped Freddy right in the fucking schnoz.
I definitely think the stage punch sold.
Yes, I really think it sold too. It's a good punch.
I'm right now, like, I'm going to be distracted for the majority of this podcast as I just think through the past futurism podcasts, and I actually think it's probably going to be about placental Randy Savage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a thing that happens a lot.
If we could workshop the placental Randy Savage 5-second film.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Well, so
do
I
we
guess,
need the wall of like
the vag wall?
The vaginal like birthing wall?
I guess so. Mike Rousselet to
I take to it from Michael Rousselet's expression that he's never listened to the podcast.
Yeah. So essentially, at one point, I argued in the future, all entertainment will be replaced by 3-foot-tall Randy Man Savages that come out of sphincters in the wall, where he's bioengineered on the fly with a limited set of voice recognition commands. So it could be like, so I love you, Randy Savage, you'd be like, I love you too, Logan.
Yeah, so it's not, like, as he's not just dripping genuinely in intelligent. Language,
or... So it's like if David Cronenberg directed Small Soldiers.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
Weird that you would come up with that. So on
the
point.
Randy Savage blanket.
But I just love
placenta.
The idea of a 3-foot-tall Randy Man Savage covered in sort of like a KY jelly. Just,
I think
just
I remember this.
Slap wet walking around your room.
Oh, and he's got like the rubbery Stretch Armstrong. Yeah. Like
and, sometimes if that's
and
the one
best
you want.
Part would be him going daisy as he runs out of calories because he'd have a limited amount of calories yeah. before he has to jump back into the sphincter.
Oh, yeah. Daisy.
He's in the fridge trying
Give
to get to the
me
food.
Your answer.
I need more calories, brother. Do you have a slim drawer?
Protein blast me now. I need it.
And then you have to just grab a dead Randy Man Savage that's 3 feet tall and just push him back into the sphincter wall where yeah. he'll regenerate.
You can't just flush him like a goldfish.
No, you'll get a new one. He won't remember anything because they'll just tear him down and use his constituent organic mass yeah. to make a new one.
But then we argue that in the future, schools will just be a ton of these sphincters where yeah. different 3-foot-tall historical figures come out and you just interact with them for a few yeah. 3 minutes.
It's basically like an old Disney cartoon except with a horrible pulsating biological vag.
So it's like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure directed by David Cronenberg.
Yes, but with a ton of sphincters on a
Lots
big wet
of
wall.
Moist.
But then if you seek true immersion, you yourself go into the sphincter mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. actually
Who
be
wouldn't?
Subsumed into
That'd
the wall.
That'd be the first thing I do.
Yeah.
I'd fuck
yeah.
it.
Jump right
I'd
in.
Fuck that.
It's pretty big.
It's gonna be a perfect fit.
So I've decided that in the future we'll actually live in what appears to be a whale's belly. And we'll actually, like, everything will be fleshy. Like, so this actually, I started thinking more, Brian, about our conversation about clothing.
Right.
Because we were talking about in the future, yes. will you wear clothing or will you just, like, genetically engineer your ear to be a toga and shit?
Oh,
As I recall, Logan was rather close-minded about it all.
No, that was Brian.
What? Oh, was it Brian that was yeah. close-minded?
He thought we'd always wear clothes.
You're right, and I apologize for turning against you right there, Logan.
Yeah.
That was
and
inappropriate.
I've decided in the future we're actually going to be naked but wet. We'll just be covered in like a constant sort of biofluid. And that's, and then it'll be there'll be times where, oh no, he's gone dry. And it was like, I was so uncomfortable. I was so dry because you were not covered in your strange placental fluids that you just lick off yourself.
Are they bioluminescent? Can you change their color?
I would imagine not only can you change the colors and are they bioluminescent, but I think you can communicate with them. I think that they allow you to run electrical currents to other people so that you're like interacting with the infosphere.
So what's the term?
Covered
wet
in your
wear?
Slick,
it's wet
wet wear.
Wet
it's wettest wear. Wet.
Can I we're go to wettest. Like a yes. store and like get a bucket of clothing and then just rub
no,
it
no,
on?
No. You wear this all the time. It is alive, it's literally.
So when I get
imagine
birthed.
If you're slicked down, like you come out of your mother's birth canal, uh-huh. and you immediately are like, you know, like you remember when you were a kid and you made like
oh,
the giant
I remember.
Bubbles,
yeah,
like where you have the thing that you could make the huge bubble, you dunk it in like bubble solution. And make
oh,
the
I thought
giant.
You were talking about being
no, they have
being
one
born.
Of those. They have one of those like 3 inches in front of your mother's birth canal, and you come sliding out and you get slicked up.
Bloop.
What if I don't bloop. Like the fashion? If I'm like plaid and like it's not cool anymore,
no, you just change it. It's all a bioluminescent goo.
I swear.
I'm sorry. All I imagined. when you described that scenario, it was just a mom with her legs spread wide open about to give birth, and the doctor just holds a bubble wand over the vagina, and the baby just comes flying out into the bubble and then flies away.
It's not too far from the truth, Ryan. It's not too far from the truth.
Logan's run, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Logan's run.
Logan's run. No, but I presume in the future, like, even our beds will just be giant tongues that, like, roll onto us mm-hmm. and then just yeah, rub us yeah. throughout the night and just slowly
no, that's
luring
the shower.
Us to sleep.
That's the shower.
No, the shower's just a sphincter going...
just no, no,
coughing
no.
water onto you, just hygienic fluids.
I think it just needs to repair the suit.
Yeah,
it just
any damage that you caused.
How am I gonna
yeah.
have a popped collar if I have? Goop?
It'll be a liquid.
Pop
it'll
goop?
Be like imagine like Jello that'll like just kind of okay. ooze off your neck into a perfect
I'd
pop
actually,
collar, shimmering and glittering in the air.
Question. I would think that your skin would just grow into a collar,
also possible, yeah.
and then your chest hair would weave into the buttons.
Ooh. Oh, I forgot about your 3D nipples.
No, that was Brian. Why do you keep attributing Brian's comments to me? Come on,
yeah.
man.
No, I had the nipples that extended further and further
and
further
and just turned into your own
faces.
Face, right?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Why is it?
I think I have that disease where people's faces all look the same to me.
I personally think
Propognasia.
That the, I think the wetware would be like hooked up to your spine, basically. So it's like it interacts really with your spine, so it always protects you. It's kind of like Doc Ock's mechanical arms.
Thank you.
And it's always, and you can control it and make it do its own thing. You know, it's kind of like goes to the, you know.
Right.
Well, I assume your placental fluid would double as sort of stuff to tickle your genes.
Uh-huh.
So you just rub your placental fluid on your tailbone and you just grow four, or I guess eight flesh tentacles.
Yeah.
That you could do whatever you want with.
I mean, do you have a set surface area of wet stuff to be able to use however you want. Like you can gather.
Maybe
it
rather than going to the Gap and buying jeans, you're probably just going to go to the Gap and buy more.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think you have a certain amount of it's probably stored internally.
Well, that's probably what we eat and drink in the future. Is we just drink placental fluid that we use.
I think
so. If you're willing to be obese, you're able to squeeze that out of your belly button and turn into tentacles.
Well, you
and
just
stuff.
Like shit and you have a hat. Just put it on your head.
By the way, guys, invite.
This one's never making it to air, is it?
Speaking of placental fluid. Logan, invite me back in 3 weeks, guys, because my shipment of Soylent is going to be coming in.
What?
Oh, you ordered that shit?
I ordered a week
Please
worth of
Soylent. Please explain what Soylent
is. Okay, Soylent was, it wasn't really a Kickstarter per se, but it was definitely a crowdfunded thing where these two guys who wanted to create a sort of beverage that you mix it basically like a protein shake. But if you have three of these Soylent shakes a day, you will have all of the nutrition broken down, you know, in terms of every vitamin, everything essential that you need to live healthily and survive each day. You'll have it just in these three shakes.
Survive. I like live healthily and survive each day.
But
you're really going to be in trouble if you're not.
But so anyway, they unfortunately, because due to overwhelming demand for Soylent, these guys had to push back their shipment until September, but I'm getting it soon.
Huh. Please tell me it's green.
No,
it's like it's literally a jizz colored.
I hope, yeah, well, it's kind of like the white diet sort of thing, but
yeah,
I like
green.
To think it's being made by people in the nude except for like rubber,
Just nipple covers.
Just nipple
covers. Just little, a nipple cover.
Little curtains over their nipples, actually, is
what
I was
two little
say.
Rods that stick out of these loose white latex curtains.
You know, I think Blade also ordered Soylent. Blade's my little brother, if I never mentioned him before.
You've never
reason.
Mentioned
I
your
never,
little
I thought
brother
he was the
named
vampire
Blade
no,
before.
No, yes, the vampire ordered Soylent as well. No, Blade, I think, also got Soylent.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious to see what happens. I predict it goes horribly.
Yeah.
If it's not
I think you're
going to
be super-duper hungry. And
the main issue is that it was made for that guy. The guy who invented Soylent specifically engineered it for his exact body.
Yeah, but the guy, I was reading about that. Like, that guy doesn't actually have any background in anything that would allow him to do it in a meaningful scientific way. He's just like, yeah, this feels good for me.
Yeah, it's like
it's not like you have some like nutritionist who's like studied his own genome because he also has a PhD in genetics. It's like it's some dude that was like, you know what I want? I want a Carnation instant breakfast, but I want to be a bit of an asshole about it. Like
Steve Jobs diet, and it killed him.
Oh God!
Well, I heard it actually went like it went great for him, and he like feels incredibly satisfied after each meal, like. It's interesting. I think
all the money he's eating.
That's it. If it works, I think it's going to transform hacker food. Because right now, most people who like go to LAN parties and play World of Warcraft are obese just because the quickest thing to eat is not good for you. But if
are you sure it's not because it's salty and delicious too? Because
I mean, I don't think those people care. I don't think they care. I think the big thing is like, what can I do to serve this basic human need as fast as possible?
Well, the empty calories are an amazing rush. Plus, of course, you know, crappy food is easily packaged.
Okay, so Soylent and like delicious. Do code red.
But here's the thing, this kind of stuff basically already exists.
Where?
Look at a Carnation instant breakfast. You throw some Metamucil in with that, you have basically what he's
That's
throwing.
That's from
at you.
Cows, bro.
No,
cows.
Carnation instant breakfast contains no dairy. It's really? Just a powder.
Just because it says Carnation.
Yeah. You can mix it with milk if you want, but you can also use water
so what's
just
in
fine.
There?
It's a bunch of powdered vitamins and shit. Mm.
I think I'm gonna go home and get this right now.
Do it!
Can I get like a vitamin beer where I'm getting all the nutrients I need by drinking?
No.
I can't live off of beer for 30 days, I hear.
Yeah.
I've actually gone a couple days, a couple of intermittent days just subsisting off of liquid only. And that be that coffee, water, a sugar-free Red Bull, or the probiotic shake that I make sometimes, or just protein shakes. I've gone whole days where I'm like, I didn't plan to, but I look back and I'm like, all I had was liquid.
And how did that go for you?
It went fine. I didn't really have an issue with it. I mean, maybe it's because I'm not going to be doing it for an entire week like I will when I get this Soylent. Mm. And I'll be.
Were you doing any like physical activity though?
Yeah, I was. Like when I come back from the gym, I'd have a protein shake and then the probiotic shake.
Mm. Are you gonna like at least chew gum so your jaw doesn't go away?
Yeah, we don't want your muscles to waste.
Yeah,
Schmeichel needs to be jacked.
Speaking of something horrific. That is the future.
9/11
and muscle wasting.
The burger.
Well, we should get to the burger, but I think this is actually related to the burger in a weird way. I was reading about how a large Swiss pharmaceutical company called Novartis is working on a drug that is called a myostatin inhibitor. It's based on a mutation that they observe in certain animals, and occasionally people have a form of it. But myostatin serves two basic functions, as near as we know. When you're in the womb, it basically tells your body how many muscle fibers to give you as a base amount. And then when you're an adult, it regulates how big your muscle fibers can get.
So it's like the buff thing.
It's basically the thing that keeps you from getting buff. It says, oh, you slow down. Or like, that's all. Your body's like, we make this much myostatin because this is how muscular you're going to be. When you take myostatin away or you inhibit it, things become like massive, like from no extra work. Like animal models that they do it on, they'll like gain like 60% muscle, like muscle mass in like 2 weeks on
that's
mice
badass.
And things.
That's so,
and
so awesome.
That's what Tom Hardy did for Dark Knight Rises, bro.
Really?
Oh,
did he
no,
really?
He just took away his myostatin.
No, he did not. He did not do that.
That's how he got those sick traps.
I know. That's what I was like. No, Logan. No, no, Logan.
Tom
no.
Hardy.
I'm going to do
no,
it.
Logan.
Here I go.
No, Logan.
People like to show Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy's trap game is really on point, guys.
But what's fucked up is that it literally, you don't have to work more to get those muscles. It's not like, oh, now I'm infinite. It's just like you just start to get bigger.
Does all the things get bigger, though? Like, will my fingers get really buff? Like, will I get these big finger biceps?
You get a huge thumb for thumbs up and everybody.
Except I'm pretty sure you don't actually... I don't think you actually have muscles in your fingers.
What about my like cheekbones? Will I get like if I start chewing, like will I just like will I start buffing out my face?
I think you get really
like,
lean.
This is like flowers for like... Algernon, but for muscles. Just like and then like one day Logan has to learn to let go of the muscles.
You can't
like,
smile.
They're developing this for like elderly people for like muscle wasting or like if someone gets hurt and is like stuck in traction and they don't want their muscles to go away. But like obviously everyone is just gonna take.
I'm just imagining myself looking over at Brian and just making all my different forehead muscles like literally just doing the wave back and forth and then.
Like if Logan and I were playing a game of poker and we were trying to con these guys, Logan would use his forehead muscles to tell me what cards he has, and then I'd be like,
I just flex and an ace of spades comes out of my forehead. I'm like,
he's using his forehead muscles.
But can I just back up for a second and say how hard it killed me just to see Logan raise his hand like a student class and be like, but does it make my muscles big? But
teacher, I want to lift.
Do you have muscles in your teeth? Like, will my gums get buff?
Yes, so your mouth is going to become so huge. But your teeth won't get any bigger, so your mouth just becomes this huge, like, pink donut.
I'm imagining all the muscles we don't know we have, like, our pit muscles, like, us just turning basically into cauliflower with nails.
This is basically a superhero. This is Tommy Trojan, the superhero who flexes all his muscles at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then walks around.
Because Tommy Trojan, the sculpture of the USC, is a superhero.
He's a superhero.
He's not.
No, did you never take the USC tour? Every time, I've heard it a million times when I was going to USC, but they take these kids on a tour and they'd be like, there's Tommy Trojan. Fun fact, Tommy Trojan is flexing all his muscles at once, which is physically impossible to do, but not for Tommy. I heard that a million times.
Which is bullshit, because we all know you can flex out all your muscles all at the same time.
Point, if he was flexing all
any
his
bro
muscles.
Knows.
If he was flexing all of his muscles at the same time, he'd have a raging erection.
How do we know he's flexing all his muscles at
he
once?
Would
there
have
are muscles we can't. What's going on?
Huge boner.
It's him wincing. Like him just being like.
What about the muscle of his mind, man?
He's
flexing.
He's doing that the hardest.
The ultimate
since
muscle.
Since about 2001.
Mm. Yeah.
So, can we bring it back to
the bros?
Either bros or burgers. What we want to talk about.
Well, we could talk about the bro burger.
Let's talk about the ultimate bro burger. The future of bro burgers.
Why don't bro-licious. They put potato fries on a burger? It doesn't
you
make
mean
any sense.
French fries?
Oh, I thought we were still doing freedom fries. I didn't want to bring it up.
No.
Let's talk about the guys. What's the future of bros?
Tell us about the future of bros.
Tell us about the past of bros and then the future.
I'm in the present and then the future.
I think the first bro was in Greece, right?
Obviously.
Obviously.
Greco-Roman wrestling was definitely invented by bros.
Yeah. Bros are just like, well, what we're doing is totally normal. And they wrestle around and then flash forward to the 80s.
I'm sorry, just as an aside, Logan, as many of you may have known, I don't know if we've mentioned it, he takes notes on a piece of paper while we're going through. And I just watched him write down, with no other context or anything, the word, looked thoughtfully while Michael was speaking, and then just wrote, dude, in the middle of the page.
I would like to, it looks like duck.
I bring up dude because, like, arguably the first true bro, like, who knows? It could have been Abraham Lincoln. Who knows?
He's so broke
but
down.
We should talk about, have you guys ever heard of, like, the origin of the term dude?
Hey. Oh, yeah, I have, actually.
And some are you familiar with the first dude?
I'm not familiar
the
with
Victorian gentleman.
Specific, no, pre-Victorian.
Specifically, I found him quickly on my internet thanks to my new Swift key keyboard.
Whoa.
Yeah, which allows me to, like, swipe like different words.
You want a fucking prize?
Evander Berrywall, a New York socialite, was dubbed King of the Dudes in 1888.
So not really the first dude, but
1800s,
King of the Dudes.
1800s.
And it was during the time known as Battle of the Dudes.
Wow.
And dudes were originally a person who dressed in an extremely fashion-forward manner, a.k.a. a dandy, or a citified person who was visiting a rural location but stuck out, a.k.a. a city slicker. And they were known for their incredibly, like, crazy modes of dress, a.k.a. I'm showing them now. I'm showing the people around the table. These giant muumuus of plaid with these giant, like, fuzzy ball buttons.
Wow, yes. I can't wow.
Yeah. So these were arguably the first bros.
Yeah.
But I don't. Wow. I'm always conflicted about saying that.
I guess
that's
like the 1880s equivalent of like a pink polo shirt.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's like being like, I'm so comfortable with my masculinity, bro, that I can rock something that's vaguely feminine. And you can't call me out on it because I'm actually more of a fucking bro than you'll ever be.
Young men of leisure vied to show off their wardrobes.
Yep. That sounds like a fraternity.
Yeah.
So anyways.
So yeah, Greece, and then the 80s.
Evander Berrywall.
Evander Berrywall.
Evander Berrywall.
Sigma Chi!
Well, it's funny, guys. I think the essence of being a bro is reveling in how great and easy you have it being a guy, and how much fewer responsibilities and how less judged you are, and you can just go hog wild and accept almost no repercussions for your actions.
Is that what you think what it means to truly be a bro?
Well,
what's the definition of truly being a bro?
A bro to me is, well, look, part of being a bro is having bros. You have to have friends who are your bros.
You can't be a solo bro.
No. Part of being a bro is about having friends. I've never seen a solo bro in my life. They've got to have their bro contingency. And
Whoa,
or constituency.
You kind of just blew my mind. Actually, now that I think about it, I've never seen a bro on their own.
Yeah.
It's really
they
weird.
Never exist in the wild.
But wait, does that...
They travel in packs.
Hold on.
Always.
Does that? But wait, maybe that indicates something deeper going on here. Maybe a bro isn't defined as a single thing. Maybe a bro is more like a herd of bison or something. It's a thing that can only exist when many constituent parts come together.
It's like a gaggle of geese.
Yeah, or a drunk of Rousselais.
One.
But there's
I've seen your family at barbecues.
Oh, yeah.
But there's always an alpha. So, I mean, you know, we need to think more about maybe wolf packs and things like that and coyotes and...
Well, it's like the tallest popped collar is usually the leader.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works?
Yeah, the bigger the collar. That's why if Abraham Lincoln was a bro, his hat, psh, all the way.
But that's not a collar.
Listen to me.
So okay. when do you think does passive aggressiveness have anything to do with bros?
I don't know. Does it?
That's more aggressive, not so passive aggressive.
I'm sorry, that was pretty aggressive.
So I'm just thinking about where the term bro is used most heavily, and the phrase that comes to mind is "come at me, bro."
Yeah,
and to me that speaks of a sort of a brotherhood born of fire, and I can see it with a smile, like a glisten in the eye.
It's like, this is how bros earn respect, is by fighting each other.
Yes, it's like two deers fighting with their antlers, where it's like, hey, we're just bros, bro, as they like clash their antlers together, and one gets stabbed. It's like, sorry, bro, sorry to stab you with my antler, I'm just gonna take your dough, bro. Like,
I had a friend actually,
and then he takes a dobro.
I had a friend who actually, we got in a little argument, and he started yelling bro at me, like, bro, bro. And I looked, I was like, did you really just bro me? Like, in a serious manner? And
I think the real question
is, taken aback.
When is it time for bro, and when is it time for brother?
Brother.
Like, hey there, brother.
I feel like brother is always, bro can be used in a lot of different settings. Brother to me is always right before you're about to undertake something majestic and potentially horrible together. So it's like, Michael, brother, we have to kill Brian and Logan and then kill our way out of this studio.
But he's my brother.
Brother!
Brother, I'm so conflicted.
I think bro is something relegated mostly to California. And no. I think once you get outside of
Northern California?
No.
Jersey Shore?
No.
Jersey Shore definitely heavily used the bros.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Maybe you think it migrated like a virus? It got
wagon? It may very well have. It could be a coastal thing.
I think I could go... I did Texas.
It seems the heavier
and
the salt content in the air.
But they don't call each other bros in the South. I mean, they can call each other other things.
What about friend? That's been my new favorite. I use bro, brother, and friend as like the common... Like, hey there, friend.
I use
like,
doctor.
What's up, brother?
That, coming out of your mouth like that, Logan, that was the most... unsettlingly sarcastic and aggressive. If you came up to me and was like,
up,
hey,
friend,
I'd be like, all right, Logan, what the fuck
we're
did
gonna
I do?
Fight.
What's like, it's like Anton Chigurh.
You
want to
go
no
right now?
And he goes, friendo.
Yeah, friendo.
And he's like, you're not my friend.
I like to call people happen? Doctor.
Anton Chigurh, No Country for Old Men. That's like his phrase. He's like,
friend.
He's like, friendo. He calls the guy in the gas station when he flips the coin whether he's going to kill him or not. He calls him friendo. You don't remember this?
No, this is such a weird quirk.
What? You don't remember?
You don't remember that scene?
Such a great
scene. It's like the best scene in the movie. All right.
I was thinking about his haircut the other day. It's a great haircut.
Dude,
bro. Right. I was thinking about haircuts.
Future
and
bros.
I saw that. And I thought,
you were just thinking about his haircut.
5,000 years in the future, we are bros.
Yes.
Bros in space.
But where in space, Michael? Space is enormous.
I think bros are about... I maintain, though, that bros are about enjoying being...
In space?
Having privileges just granted to you that you didn't earn, but
so
enjoying
like
them communally. Enjoying them communally.
So like the house
will be that. And anyone has the power in them to be a bro, and that includes girls, that includes basically anybody. All you have to do is maybe get a little drunk, get a little uninhibited, and then not care about what you do, and then have fun doing it with your friends.
But
that's
what if the things that you don't care about doing don't really take any attention to you or take away? Because I hear what you're saying, but I feel like one of the underlying things with all the stuff you're saying about privilege and bros and whatnot is that the exercise of the things that they choose to do infringe upon the quiet enjoyment of others, perhaps. There's zero regard.
Your voice changed. You did something different with your voice.
What did I do?
What did you do to your voice?
What did I do?
Oh my
god. You started talking differently.
What did I? Really?
I almost feel like you started talking like Anton Chigurh.
Oh god. Was I really talking differently?
I feel like I Chigurh'd you.
What did I do?
She just got Chigurh'd.
You Chigurh'd, bro?
I'm freaking out. What did I do?
You Chigurh'd? I'm just fucking with you. I wasn't paying attention.
Brother. No, I mean... Who can really say what the future of bros is going to be? And you say something
you
like 5,000 years in the future. Like, I don't know. I guess, to me, I think it'll always exist. You say Abraham Lincoln was a bro, and I totally see that. I think he's so stressed out from the responsibilities of being president in such a tumultuous time, he probably had some booze and cut loose at some point and just was like, yeah, I'm the fucking president!
He's the ultimate
bro.
He's
a bro right there in that moment.
He's the ultimate bro. He freed the slaves.
He's celebrating himself. He's being boorish and loud, and he's doing it presumably in the company of other people, and they're all like, yeah, you're the fucking president.
He's like,
that's being a bro.
I fucking freed the slaves. Bro down so hard.
Community plus privilege equals time.
Wait, what?
Community plus privilege equals time.
Community plus privilege over time equals bro.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Comedy plus
please
tragedy
check
equals
their work.
So yes, 5,000 years is really intimidating because God knows what's
we're
going
not
on
here.
There. So let's go with
maybe
100 years from now. Where are bros? What's bro culture
oh,
like?
Oh, man. There's going to be a bro running the country if the country's still around.
Haven't they mostly been bros?
Oh, George Bush was a bro. Oh, shit.
They've all been bros.
They're all bros, man. Oh. They went to fucking Harvard.
I think the only one you could maybe argue wasn't a bro would be like
Gerald Ford.
No, Jimmy Carter. Gerald Ford was like the ultimate.
Jimmy Carter is not a bro.
Calvin Coolidge.
Oh, definitely not a bro.
Kennedy was a bro.
Kennedy was a super bro.
Are you kidding me? John Quincy Adams was not a bro.
I guarantee you I can find a picture of Kennedy with his collar.
John Adams was a huge bro.
John Adams is a pro, but not Quincy Adams.
No, maybe not Quincy Adams. William Henry Harrison.
What about Teddy Roosevelt?
Oh, definitely a bro.
Yeah. King of the bros.
So bro.
He rode a bison around in Yellowstone. There's pictures of it. It's ridiculous.
That's a bro.
He
invented Instagram.
But I think... or the filter, at least. But I'm terrified of George W. Bush is definitely... probably the scariest bro ever.
He's a bro president for sure.
He's a bro, you know.
Barack Obama
is just a brother.
Do you think, like, so I guess the thing is you grow out of your broness or you learn how to conceal it in different.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think that's a sign of maturity for a bro is learning how to, like, quell the bro while you're in different settings.
When you get in the office space, you can't, like, bro down.
You can't bro out. Or at least you need to know when to bro out and how to bro out.
Yeah.
Will we ever get to the point where we have explicit bros as president where they're, like, crushing cans on their head? Or, like,
again, I'm going
to
say,
or, like,
waddling
over to, like, the diplomat
bro.
Of Japan and be like, yo, bro, just, like, clean out your system, like, on the front lawn of White House.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt.
George Bush.
Damn Brush.
It. George H.
George Brush.
Brush.
George Brush.
George
H.W. Bush broke down so hard he threw up on the Japanese prime minister.
Did
oh,
he
really?
He was so drunk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't get food poisoning, but there's video of him just leaning over and just vomiting on the prime minister
of
Japan.
So
laugh.
Epic.
So
that's
sad.
Incredible.
Yeah.
He totally
you
know brought out. That happened before the internet, and oh my God, if that happened like now.
I mean, it was
yeah.
like, it's cool, bro. It's cool. Like because, you know, other world leaders are also bros. Like, UN is like basically just a giant Broden. So, like, you know, he's probably cool with it. He was like, yo, yeah, bro holla.
Definitely a game of bros there.
Can we talk about burgers for a second?
I'd love
Please.
To talk about burgers.
So let's talk about this burger that happened like a week or two ago, the $300,000
Super
Burger.
Yeah, $300,000 Super Burger.
No.
It came not from a cow of this earth.
Oh, God.
But instead was grown in a vat.
Whoa.
They took cells from a cow and they grew thousands and millions, actually millions and millions and millions of tiny little slivers of these muscle cells, and they grew them in a dish and they put them all together into a hamburger patty and they grilled it. And
they
ate
served
it
at McDonald's.
Well, the scientist, one scientist and one reporter each got like a niblet.
Do you think one of them did one of those things where they fake like dying for a second in front of the other one? Like, just messing with you, dude.
Oh, God, I'm turning into a cow. Oh, man. I can feel them in my brain.
I'm getting stronger.
They actually just hire like Phil Tippett or Stan Winston to do like weird transformation effects to him.
Stan Winston's dead.
Except everyone has to close their eyes for a second to let the next part of the transformation happen so that it like the illusion.
They
could have
put some air bladders in like his forehead to like push horns out.
More
That's
muscles.
The thing. To me, the transformation scene in American Werewolf in London is a triumph of editing, almost more so than the makeup, because it just keeps cutting around to different parts
Rick
of the body.
Rick Baker is right
here.
Oh,
he's amazing.
That's the guy I meant to.
He's
the editing of that transformation
we'll
sequence.
We'll get to you later, Rick. Sorry, we're talking.
Fuck you!
Shut up, Rick! God.
So would you guys eat the Petri dish burger?
Well, I would.
Yeah,
I'd
totally.
I've eaten at Arby's, so yeah.
I'm sure I've eaten grosser things than something that was clean.
Are you okay with
made...
never eating meat that used to be like a living... breathing
absolutely
thing,
I'm telling
around.
You like half the fucking shit in fast food seriously is like synthetic weird. Like the
I
chicken McNuggets
literally,
are they have like five heads
I will say this as someone who eats meat with great zest and relish
no pun intended
if you watch if you know anything about like the slaughter process or how most meat is handled like it's fucking gross and it's awful if you could come to me and say, yes, Ben, all the meat that you're going to get, your delicious chicken, your fine steaks, your indispensable bacons, You're actually, and let's get exotic. Let's have some bison, some ostrich, some crocodile, some really rare animals like the pocket fox.
At that point, we could probably do like mammoth.
Wait, question.
Yes.
Could you?
A delicious mammoth burger?
Exactly. Could you take the cells of, say, the woolly mammoth and then do this process? Oh my God, we could have a mammoth burger?
You could have a mammoth burger.
Probably get a fish, and we could probably do human. Like we just swap.
You could make ground human.
You can make mermaid burgers.
Yeah,
half fish, half human.
And then they've actually talked about doing that. Where like part of the goal here is obviously one, it's get it cheap enough where you can make that kind of meat, and you don't have to have animals grazing and taking up good land. But you could also make the meat healthier.
You know, I don't think we'll ever have a griffin, but there's no reason we can't have a lion eagle.
You almost figured out how to say that perfectly. What you should have said, Logan, was, you know, I don't think we'll ever have a griffin, but that doesn't mean we can't eat one.
Yeah, well, and also if you overcook it, it will still rise from the ashes.
That's a phoenix, you dimble!
Shit! I gotta sit myself out!
So you see how excited we are? I feel like this $300,000 super burger is to bros what the $1 million diamond-encrusted lingerie bikini is to girls. Because, like, have you ever seen that?
The difference is that we'll actually be able to eat that burger one day.
Yeah. Maybe.
My guess is we'll all be eating it because it'll be the cheap person's meat.
I feel it's, like completely impractical, but every guy looks at that and is like, oh, I want to eat that. It's $300,000. Why wouldn't I want to eat that much money? It's just something in it.
Here's the question. Like, do you think so we're okay with not killing animals to eat our meat?
I love how you phrased that. So let me get this straight. We're all okay not killing an animal to have meat, right?
Because I can imagine rather than us
I'll
growing
kill you
ground
for a hamburger
meat,
right
instead
now.
Of us, instead of us growing ground meat, we grow like a cow with a very thin neck and little head where like the user gets to guillotine it before they eat it.
No, I killed it. Oh, I see. You're suggesting that they do that specifically so they could kill something.
Yes.
Ooh. Like, you know, I love that science has brought us to a point that I can have something like this that's so healthy and doesn't require me to kill another living creature, but in my heart, I really need to kill another
living
creature.
I really need a guillotine off the head.
I want to grow,
I need to see fear before it dies.
I want to grow a cow that has a lot of delicious fluid in the head and a swirly straw for the neck so you can just snap it off the body and then just kind of drink it like a
squeeze it.
Yeah.
You want squeeze it meat.
I want squeeze it meat.
So
it's called
shit. I was pitching another thing earlier this week where, Brian, I was actually using your waiter voice. So actually, if you can recreate this in your voice, it probably is ideal. Mm. But essentially, it's a pile of ground meat with teeth that invites you to eat it. It's like, sir, how would you like to be cooked? And it actually has a giant tongue, so it can saute itself with this giant tongue.
Isn't it the Simpsons did it with the cow?
I want it to be a ground meat puppet with teeth. And then when it's like, sir, I'm done, and it bites off its own tongue and then spits out its teeth, and that's when it's a done cooked burger. The other option is it slowly loses its teeth as it's cooked, and you're like, burger, I want to be done at like two teeth level of cooking. It's like, very well, sir.
And
its teeth just fall out as it's being cooked, and at two
How
teeth, it just
like
goes.
It?
No, the Simpsons did the one with the cow. Yeah. No, it was a pig.
It goes, no, it was a cow, too.
No, it was a pig. It was very good, sir.
In Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has a cow. The difference here is I prefer to be ground meat.
Yeah, okay.
With no eyes, just teeth.
Yes, I'd like it if you.
I'd say take the nightmare to one level further, and the teeth don't actually form a mouth. The teeth just kind of swirl around the nubbin end, not in any particular order.
The other option,
and they're human teeth.
The other option
sure.
is we just go Assy McGee with it into a sphincter, just doing it.
Listen, I want to tell you a secret,
sir. Your meat is ready.
But the beauty of it having a clam-like tongue is it can drag itself around the kitchen and maybe
right.
and maybe like slap
it.
Your cheek a little to wake you up and be like, I'm about to cook myself, sir.
But
and then like
hop
over to the pan.
What
turn
if it wants
it on?
To kill you and then it pulls across and it's like now it's got a knife in its tongue
and it's
crawling at you.
No. We program each super burger with the three laws of robotics, but for burger. No super burger can cause harm to another human or a super burger.
Or allow there to be harm.
Well,
so
what's
the
amazing
burger
is
has to save you.
The emergent properties of super burger. Like if you have 30 super burgers, they'd like start flocking like geese around the beach. Like sometimes like during barbecues, like the burger blows away. Like it's like, oh no. And then you'll just see these super burgers like running around the beach. Somebody lost their lunch.
Let's just fill seagulls with condiments. So when they fly over and shit on you, it's like, ah, mustard. Great.
Well, we could, yeah, we could go like cars with this, where slowly but surely it takes over our entire ecosystem until we have just like flying wings of bacon.
Yeah. Guys, this is Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. That's exactly what this is.
I guess maybe that was a weird vision into our future.
Shit.
Oh, God.
Friends.
All right, so we're going to do a little something that I like to call the lightning round.
Oh, okay, the lightning round.
Yes. Okay. Michael Rousselet, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Right here. And remember when you were asking me that question?
20 years.
Oh. I don't know.
30 years.
Who cares? Probably still, hopefully not on the internet anymore. But then again, the internet's going to take over.
40 years.
I can answer that question. In 40 years, I'll be inside Michael Rousselet. And I'll burst out of his skin in 50 years.
Okay.
Really?
So wait, you're talking about a 10-year incubation period.
Yeah, I'm growing. I'm growing. My cells are growing inside Michael Rousselet, and I will explode.
Are you wearing? Wow. Okay.
That's what the burp covers for.
Roos will be flying for about like 4 years somewhere.
Did you say
in there?
I'm going to be
Brundle flying. Disturbing.
Oh, no.
All right.
I'll probably be doing the same thing I'm doing, making ridiculous videos, but now being broadcast directly to people's brains because the whole industry is going to change and collapse on itself. Yeah. That's where I'll be.
Because of the brain?
Yeah. And actually, I'll be with you. We'll still be living together, Ben. I see the terror and sadness in your eyes. I remember when Ben was happy.
Oh, when was that?
That one time I waved at you on the street at college. I go, oh, it's that guy I know. Ben. Hey, Ben. And you're like, oh, hey. I was like, he's so happy.
You know what's fucked up is I distinctly remember that. You were on your porch in a bathrobe and I was parking my white car.
Yes. That's right. I was thinking you were doing summer school.
I was doing my master's degree. Mm-hmm.
Pristine white car.
And Brian, how about you?
10 years from now?
10 years.
What am I going to be doing 10 years from now? Vacationing.
What about 20 years from now?
Vacationing.
What about 30 years from now?
Sucking dick to make up for all those years I spent vacationing.
I was wondering if you're going to pay that off. About 40 years from now?
Recovering from all the dick sucking
Wrong.
I was doing.
I already know you're going to be inside him.
That's right.
Oh,
but that's where
right.
I'm doing my recovering.
Inside him.
See, I sucked so much dick that I...
This episode is never going to ever be put up.
I ingested enough DNA. DNA to become DNA man.
We have talked about...
You already are DNA man. You're full of DNA.
It'll be like the Secret World of Alex Mack, except I'll turn into puddles of jizz and go inside dicks and then incubate inside the body.
I had such a crush on her.
Didn't we all? Every time I saw Alex Mack, I totally just thought about her turning into a puddle of jizz.
I used to read like fan, erotica writings about like they'd be like Alex Mack porn, you know, growing up.
Alex Mack slash fiction?
That's what it's called.
It's called slash fiction?
Okay, yeah.
I thought slash fiction was when
you combine two things.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure that could still happen.
It was like, oh, so weird. It was like, oh, God, I was such a weird child. This is on the internet, isn't it? Fuck.
So is that. So we'll provide annotated links.
Wait, hold on. Alex Mack.
Ben is now disturbed. What do you mean? Are you looking for Alex Mack fan fiction?
We were young when she was young. It's okay.
It's okay. It's healthy. Yeah, no, I was like 12.
Yeah, come on, man.
Oh, no, I actually know this woman.
Larissa Olenek?
Yeah.
Don't tell her that I used to read fan fiction about her.
I won't. I mean, I'm not claiming to be friends with her or anything, but we've studied at the same acting studio and were in some classes together.
She's studying acting.
Yeah, she's on TV. Well, she's on TV like right now with Hawaii Five-0.
That's just.
Hey, man, she's getting paid bank.
She's getting paid a shit ton of money.
If you're on a CBS show,
she's a recurring character on a broadcast like one-hour drama.
I didn't know that Hawaii Five-0 was still on the air.
You know, it's not the original one.
I know
right?
It's not the original one.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't have TV.
Unless it was recently canceled.
The only show I know about is Breaking Bad.
Do you know who the most paid.
Oh, her character was killed off.
Oh, you ruined
shit.
It for me.
Oh, man.
You ruined it for me. I was going to watch Hawaii Five-0.
Oh, but wait. She's got a role on Mad Men now.
Really?
Wait, I thought that show got.
At what? Alex Mack?
Yeah.
She's on Mad Men?
Show me a picture.
Hang on. She already on Mad Men or is it going to be next season?
It's season 5 is what it says.
Oh my God. That means she was in this season.
But she was in season 4 too, the episode Chinese Wall.
So let's talk about Melissa Joan Hart. She had a Kickstarter.
I kind of feel bad shitting on celebrity Kickstarters and those sort just because ours was successful.
We were terrified.
We were terrified
halfway through.
We were terrified. And then we were like, well, guys, this was fun. I was always the I'm not doomsayer, but just sort of like the insanely pragmatic person about this. Because I've tangentially...
From an outside perspective, I would call you a doomsayer.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But Brian is pretty on point with certain things. Like you knew how much you're like, you estimated probably practically exactly what we raised the first day.
I was within $1,000 of how close we were going to get on our first day.
I paid up. I don't know how many other people paid you up. We made a bet. We made a bro gentleman's bet.
And on that night when everyone was like, well, okay, because I made the lowest bet and I got it, Price is Right rules. I was like, guys, we're going to make it, but it's going to be a knife fight. And that's what it was.
A knife fight.
But anyway,
I don't know. In my definition, that was not a knife fight at the end. I was literally planning on being sitting there like 30 minutes out, being like, all right, do I need to call like a relative and promise them that I'll pay them back the $10,000 loan? Like, that's a knife fight to me. You're like, oh, we got it. We're $2 over with 47 seconds to spare. Well, good job, everybody.
We were conspiring about like,
shut up.
Oh, about making Frito-Lay.
There we go.
Delicious chips ever. Brought to you by Ben's Pizza Sandwich. Paco.
You know what I'm going to tell you right now? I'm going to tell you right now.
Rusa's Dodge is getting worse and worse.
I know. She's taking it in for a checkup.
If there was some salsa and there was some hummus in that taco pita, that could have been delicious. Hummus, salsa, taco chips on a pizza.
I think you should just pitch this to Taco Bell.
It would have been so adorable.
They're making that waffle taco.
If you were eating that pizza.
Future of tacos.
Future of tacos?
Hilariously enough, there was actually an NPR segment about that today.
I feel like the future of tacos is very vast. You could see, I'm so entertained. I'm so entertained by the subject. Anyway, the future of tacos is...
Overthrow it.
What is it, like Sleepy Time Podcast? Like, hello,
all right, guys. What are your three favorite burgers in Los Angeles?
In-N-Out, I don't care. I fucking love In-N-Out.
Okay, you're gonna take the traditional fast food
I'll
route?
In-N-Out is...
He's not criticizing. He's
no,
just...
I'm saying that's valid.
It's a classic choice.
It's
fantastic.
Classic.
They're so good.
It's easily
they
the best fast food burger.
They don't need to do any other... Like, we got these two burgers on our menu, and if you want anything else, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's so good. All right, then... I'm a sucker for stout. I love stout.
Stout is fantastic.
I love stout.
Stout's so good.
And, I like umami, but I know there's better shit out there. I just can't.
It's funny how for people umami's star has fallen. Like it is the chain of gourmet burgers in LA, which, and LA out of nowhere, by the way, just became like the gourmet burger place to be. So
I still
that's
go
why.
There. I mean, you know, it's great, but I know that there's a better burger out there. I just can't think of it. But
I have a couple of burgers I'd like to throw your guys'
go
way.
Go on.
First off, I'd like to mention the Oaks, which is on Franklin's in Franklin Village. It's next to the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater and the Bourgeois Pig.
Is that new?
It's been around. It's called The Oaks. The Oaks, and they sell other things too. They sell a lot of wines and cheeses and
all
kinds
of stuff.
Oh,
they got the beer, right? And they got a coffee shop. They make burgers.
Yeah, they make burgers.
They make great fucking bacon cheese burgers.
Oh my god, can you picture Tony the Tiger? I did.
They're great. You know what I mean? The one next to Gelson's. That area.
They
sell burgers, and you better fucking believe they're good.
All right, we're done.
Hey.
But a burger even better than that, and this is my consideration for the best burger in Los Angeles. I've had friends
for your consideration
back me up on this who've gone and tried it, and they're like, yeah, you're right. Huh. It's in this place that Marie and I love to go to for breakfast. It's actually our favorite breakfast in LA as well, but it's also the best burger. It's a place called Saltzkure, which is on Santa Monica, and I want to say Genesee, maybe a block past that. Anyway, but it's Gardner. He's got it. That's right. He's so right. It's Saltzkure is on Santa Monica and Gardner. They are only closed on Tuesdays, and they're open in kind of weirdish hours. I guess they close a little early. But, oh my God, you've got to try their bacon cheeseburger. It's massive. It's $18.
Ouch.
What?
And worth every penny.
You know, I'm not a big fan of big burgers. I don't want a huge burger I have to squish and move my jaw. I want like that fine, delicious.
This is an experience, you guys, and particularly because of the bacon, which, by the way, they sell at a separate butcher shop that you can go to. It's really close to you guys.
$18. All right.
Oh, I bet I know. It's McCall's Meat.
Let's do this shit,
huh?
If it's near us, it's McCall's Meat.
Well, it's not. Okay, you know where Umami Burger is on Hollywood Boulevard? That
kind of. It's turn around the corner and up there. It's McCall's.
I don't know that it's
on Hillhurst, right by Albertsons near the.
No.
The Mexican restaurant.
No. It's on that same street. It's like, you know, the Goodwill and the Umami and all that stuff. It's like, you know, you're taking...
There's a butcher there?
You're taking Sunset, right? Uh-huh. And then you know where Sunset becomes that junction where you can all of a sudden just take Hollywood,
uh-huh.
right? So you're going past that vista, right. and then you're going mm-hmm. past Goodwill.
Uh-huh.
Literally on the other side of the street from that Goodwill is this little butcher shop where they sell all, where Saltskier sells all their bacon and shit.
Huh.
And it's amazing.
Oh, yeah, those, it's a, there's a butcher shop to cross from that Chinese. It's next to where the Derby used to be, right? That
no,
butcher
that's
shop?
McCall's.
That's McCall's.
Ah.
That's McCall's. That's
McCall's,
what you're thinking
well,
of.
First off, has some of the best bacon I've ever had in town.
Mm.
And also, you can buy duck fat there.
Holy shit.
Ooh,
and
foie gras?
No, not foie gras.
No,
duck
you
fat.
Can't. Mm, yeah, duck fat.
This is duck
What's
fat.
What's foie gras?
Foie gras is fattened goose liver.
Yeah, and it's illegal to sell now. Or
it's illegal to make in the United States.
Yeah. However,
because you like feed a goose
until
they explode.
Cruelty, yeah.
However, I happen to know a French restaurant that'll serve it to you on the down low.
You can still get it. You just can't make it
we'll,
here.
We'll talk afterwards, Brian.
We'll talk afterwards. It's a pretty good that. Place.
They do really good stuff.
Guys,
at
Guys, can
McCall's.
We just dress up really fancy and go to burger joints?
Yeah,
I'd love
Brian's.
To.
I'd love
yeah.
to do that. I remember
you,
you
right
and
now?
Maria, Brian, you were going around. You were like, no, we're going to find the best waffles in L.A.
Yep.
And you went to like 100 different fucking waffle shops.
I couldn't have been waffles because we already know the best is Roscoe's. But
But no, you were going. You were like, I have to go
it's,
check
it's
out.
It's maybe it was the best. It was certainly the best breakfast. We were doing breakfast tours. We were doing.
You were on the milkshake tour. For
milkshake
a while.
Tour with Logan. We did the milkshake
but,
tour.
The one we went to was by the Scientology building for
oh,
your birthday.
Yes, Square One Dining.
Holy shit!
Square One Dining breast French toast.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's the French
That's
toast.
That's what it was.
Who doesn't love
it was
breast
amazing.
French toast?
You were like, try this. I was like, no, I'm full, and you're like, oh, God, it was so good.
So good. They also have the best Eggs Benedict in
yes,
Los Angeles.
Yes,
Square One Dining is amazing.
Do you think that they're all Scientologists?
Yeah,
no.
Almost assuredly.
I mean, I don't know. I do know that like that's the topic of conversation whenever anyone goes to Square One Dining for the first time, because you see that big hovering blue building just
yeah.
across the
yeah.
way. It's so
Oh,
gaudy.
You know what? I've eaten at Square awesome. One. Square One does have fabulous breakfast.
Don't
great.
They?
They have incredible breakfast.
The Eggs Benedicts are super on point.
I have not had the Eggs Benedict there, but I have had a number of other things. It's fantastic.
It's one of the best really breakfasts I've ever had.
All right, future of breakfast. This is the note that we're going to go out on.
Oh, the future of breakfast
in, okay,
is dinner.
No, no, no.
Oh,
here's, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell me what the average American breakfast is in
okay.
100 years, 1,000 years,
okay.
and 100,000 years.
Oh, my God.
All right, Michael, you go first.
Breakfast in a 1,000
years. 100
years
first.
100 years. 100
years. We're starting small.
It's going to be... bacon. It's going to be like this perfectly foreign piece of meat that is a combination of eggs and ham and hash.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fed into a pig and genetically modified, and that's what you get. You get this one big, delicious piece of bacon that has everything in
All
it.
All right, 1,000 years.
We are the bacon.
100,000 years.
You know what? I don't have an answer for that. I think it would have to be God's bacon.
I think it just becomes the ending to Battlestar Galactica. just like,
there must be some kind of way out of here.
Bob Dylan. The future of breakfast.
The future of breakfast.
100,000 years from now, breakfast is Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan.
Brian, 100 years from now, breakfast.
It is. You're still going to get your bacon. You're still going to get your eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Toast will be gone.
Okay.
What?
But bacon, eggs, and coffee.
All right.
Oh, toast coffee. Gone.
Okay. 1,000 years from now.
You're going to have your coffee, and you're going to have your bacon. Eggs are gone because all the chickens are wiped out.
Would you care to elaborate on that more?
There's going to be a huge war for resources and chickens because chicken is just great and so versatile. It's going to become
great chicken
a currency.
War.
And people will... you can't just cavalierly eat eggs for breakfast anymore.
Makes sense.
It's gone.
100,000 years.
So he's being serious. And okay, shit.
100,000 years into the future, coffee and bacon merge to
Cavekin?
To become Cavekin. a morning ritual / sizzling pork deliciousness treat of goodness.
All I see in my mind is like a normal cup of coffee, but instead of coffee sloshing around it, there's just like a cube of sizzling meat fills
like
the whole cup.
I like to imagine you walk out, first of all, you get out of your cube space, and then you walk
your
along
vaginal wall sleeping.
You walk along this
sucker.
This polygonal, like it's a pyramid shape that just extends the further you walk out
forever.
To form like a kind of triangular diving board,
uh-huh.
and then you just raise your arms and then dive into the Cavekin, which is this floating. It's just this pool suspended through time. You
pass through it.
Yes, through the permeable sort of membrane.
It's five dimensional pork matter.
Yeah, and then you emerge on the other side, caked in it, and then now you are a different color. You're the color of the cavekin, and then you can go to work. You can access the work spheres that see that you're covered in the, you know, the traditional.
Right.
You know,
can I have a cup that's made of bacon and put the coffee in it?
Yes, but that'll be about 35,000 years from now. It'll be briefly in.
You can, but you will be a heretic. You'll be a heretic.
All right, everybody. I think that we've wasted enough of each other's time this week.
Hang on. We've probably taught people, at least people who live in L.A. and want to get a burger. We've taught them something valuable.
Fair enough, Brian.
I thought we were going to talk about films and Dude Bro. I was like, oh, we're going to talk about Dude Bro and filmmaking.
I thought we were too, but we went really hard off the rails.
I was not drunk enough for this. All right. I want to come back with a vengeance, and I'm going to drive with you, and I'm going to get shit-faced, and we're going to do it right.
Okay. You know what, Michael? I guarantee you that you will come back, and I will drive us, and you will be drunk.
Good. I won't, because, you know, I could do better, I swear.
The best part is that we're going to bring you back, and we're going to have a real serious discussion.
You're going
to sit down, and you're going to be like, all right, guys, let's do this. And then, like, in will walk, like...
Herzog.
Like, yeah, like Werner Herzog. Like, and our other guest this week is Werner Herzog. He's fresh from an AME. Hello, I'm Michael. Nice to meet you. And you'll just be drooling, hey, like, shit!
You said that it's too close to Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, I wasn't
Michael
meaning to do that.
Michael Rousselet.
Hello. It's so peculiar to be interviewing Werner. Hello, Werner. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Okay, everybody. That's all the time we've got this week. I'm Ben. Logan is MIA. Logan, I'm pretty sure, is eating fruit snacks on the couch in the producer's room.
Yeah. So thanks for coming to my
This is not Michael Rousselet's podcast.
This is Michael Rousselet's podcast.
Thank you for coming to Not Michael Rousselet's Futures podcast. I'm Ben Geely. And I'm Logan. And this is To the Future. We had our guest with us today, Michael.
And Brian Ferenzi.
Thanks for coming to my podcast, guys.
Thanks. It was my pleasure, Roos. It was my pleasure to become a co-host of your podcast.
Brian, you know...
And to welcome our
I'm
two
telling
guests,
you,
Logan
when,
and Ben.
When this
Cut it,
podcast,
Alex. Just kill it right
well,
now.
We have our talk show, Brian.
Just kill it.
Can we just alternate just on kill side it. Host? You're the
I want to be I want to be the Ed McMahon to your Johnny Carson.
Kill it.
No, but I want to be your Ed McMahon.
Why don't you go, how about your
both
from the couch.
Ed McMahon?
We can't have two Ed McMahons?
Sure
can the talk show begin with one head? Can the talk show begin with one head emerging and you don't know whose head it is, and then it splits like an amoeba into two heads, and it's both of us.
I want a talk show where you have two sidekick hosts in flanking.
All right, you're on your own.
I want a talk show that's literally a talking head program.
Well, we've lost Ben, but the talk show is still going.
So, Roos, what's it like being a giant 10-foot floating head?
Oh, you know, doors are not
doors
a thing.
Are a nightmare, aren't they?
They are.
Thank God you can shoot laser beams out of your eyes.
I know, and I can open them.
Yes.
And you know what else I love? Let's talk about the economy. Now that Ben's gone, we can finally have a serious discussion.
We can finally get to a serious discussion about the economy.
What's your favorite currency?
Your shirt is so unbuttoned. It's so flagrantly unbuttoned. It violates so many health laws.
I went into a business meeting with Ben.
I can't believe you, son of a fucking bitch.
And Ben afterwards took me aside and goes, Rusley, next time, one more button.
Bruce, please tell me that at some point during this fucking business meeting, you said, all right, all right, all right. Just please tell me you did.
All right. Oh, wait, we still going? I knew it! Our show's still going.
Our show's still
Brian,
going.
Wait,
I just saw Ben. Saw Ben storm out. What happened?
We saved the show.
Where did we shake out regarding everything?
We talked about the best burgers in LA, the best breakfasts. Then we talked about the future of breakfast, which.
I'm sorry.
Roos and I talked about what it would be like to host a talk show as two giant 10-foot floating heads that can shoot laser beams out of their eyes.
And how did you guys shake out on that one?
It was a good shakeout. It's like the kind of shakeout where you're at a urinal and you have to, and you know, it's your favorite band, you want to catch their next song, and you just all the urine's out. Don't you hate it? It's like when you bring your dick back in,
so,
and then it's like a little bit of
is the show better as
in.
A 10-foot floating head or as a whole body?
Definitely 10-foot head.
Yeah, everything's better as a 10-foot head except for doors.
Why?
Just because you get to survey people from above, you feel like you are playing a never-ending game of Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Oh God, I love that game.
Yeah,
it's good game. No doubt.
I missed that. Oh. All right. Well, anyway, thanks for coming, guys, to my talk show.
thanks for having us, Michael.
Thanks for joining us, Logan.
The giant 10-foot head of Brian Ferenzi. Always a pleasure.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Logan, you didn't pitch a 5SF idea.
I think it kind of did.
I think it was the ground beef. I'm going to go with the ground beef. It's either ground beef or Randy Man Savage as a placental thing coming out of the sphincter.
I would love that.
Screaming snap into a Slim Jim to some kids who are just hanging out on the couch playing Super Nintendo.
We need to make it official. You need to write it down, and then I'll give you a description.
Give me a description of what I gave you a description of.
Well, I mean, I'm going to build the world. That's what the description does, is it helps explain the joke sometimes. Other times it like tells, oh, this wasn't the only thing that this character did. They did something else, too. Isn't that funny? Second joke.
You, sir, are a wordsmith, and I am very impressed by you and your Perrier.
In a can.
Perrier in a can. It's all you guys have. Come on.
How do you guys feel about this glass versus can thing?
I think, okay, future of recyclable materials.
Oh, meat.
Everything is meat. Everything comes in cartridges and receptacles of meat.
I already tried to stop this. So you don't seem to get that if you just let this happen, it's never going to end.
I'm going
to
go ahead and disagree that. I don't think it's glass or meat or cans. Here's what I think is going to happen.
Ben's like, I ended this, please. Can we just go now?
I think the future of...
This is a fucking nightmare.
No, here we go. Here we go. You ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
I think the future of beverages is downloadable content into your belly button.
Oh!
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are we going to do with all that lint?
That makes perfect sense. Thank you, everybody, for coming out this week.
Wait. So here's what I...
Ben, you can't steal the show from us, all right?
Here's what I think is going to happen. Dr. Pepper, et cetera, won't sell you delicious beverages, they'll sell you beverage IP.
Ooh.
Yes. And so.
Okay, you've kind of got me back.
Indigestion property?
You'll purchase it, and maybe that's their DRM, is indigestion, but you'll smear it around your belly button and then press on your belly button like a water fountain, and out will spurt delicious beverages for you and your friends.
Wait, so the beverages leak from your belly button and friends have to come over it with a cup?
I imagine that you were pressing it, or just lap it up.
So it's like a never-ending body shot.
Nipples.
Yes, essentially. It's an eternal body shot. You'll essentially license it for durations, and after a day, I presume you'll still have the content, so we'll have to put in an expiration date regarding it'll just give you indigestion.
That's totally going to become another pretty person job. Booth babes, but it'll just be like at Cabo Cantina or whatever. It'll just be some model who's just like has whatever tequila thing patched into her belly button. She's like, go ahead, $5, you can do a shot off it.
Yeah,
it's like 8 hours clocking
never ending. But there's
going to be a question, though, which is, wait, you're telling me I have to hire a whole model to spray the 7-Up out her belly button? And so will come the next generation of soda fountains where she just navels, just navels that you squeeze into your mouth. And so when you order a margarita, you won't get a delicious salt-covered glass. You'll just get, like, a navel that you just squeeze into your mouth until it dries up.
So you've made fruit.
Well, the problem is if these girls
are you've made human fruit with Dr. Pepper in it.
Well, here's the issue. The squeezing thing.
Thanks for joining us.
No, but here's
on our
but
talk
here's,
show,
here's
Brian.
What I like. You won't throw it out. It'll just grow arms and legs when it's out.
It'll
just scurry off to the kitchen to be disposed of.
Yeah. No, you plant it in the garden, and then you get more Dr. Pepper boob fruits.
Well, it's possible that it has metabolism, so it just is a never-ending font as long as you feed it chips from your chip tray at the Mexican restaurant. So you actually just grab your tortilla chips and give it into the navel and goes, and then eats it. It turns into margarita for it to spray back out again.
Okay. I really like how in Logan's future, Logan. I really like how Logan has Roomba-fied everything. So it's like all the items in Logan's future know when they're low on energy and need to go recharge.
They're always.
I feel like in Logan's life now that's his biggest problem. Like, fuck, I gotta recharge this thing. I wish it grew legs.
I guess what I really like is the idea of all my objects scurrying around with a little pitter-patter. Hopping around. But going back to the original, I think that's the future of beverages. Isn't separate containers, but just it coming out of a belly button, or a different organism that just has a belly button.
I think that the future of beverages is atmospheric osmosis. I think that the airwaves will be filled with a quantum cola foam that is in a super cola position of any form of cola until it is observed, and you will pay for the right to align your skin with the quantum cola state of your desiring, upon which you will literally be in a universe of cola.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I think the other possibility is you
if
just...
If you take the goddamn windscreen off the damn mic, everyone will hear you make stupid noises with your
all
lips
right.
and mouth.
Now, that's unprofessional.
Guys, I'm just...
Roos has turned into a 500-foot head, and now every P and B sound he makes creates small gusts of wind.
I'm trying to breathe. Continue.
God, it feels like an ocean spray.
I don't have my headphones on.
Ben, you were talking...
It's an experience.
Hold on, I
want to
put
okay, my... let's... Everybody,
I walked up the steps.
Mike, freeze. Freeze. Jesus. Mike, freeze. Okay, everybody, thanks for going to the fucking future. Let's do it. Out of here. Bye.
No,
bye.
You can't stop it. You can't stop it. That's my... Okay, everyone, thanks for watching the Michael Russo show. Special guest, me.
Special guest, me.
Special guest, me.